shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. I am your brother and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. TGIF, it's a beautiful day. Thank God. Because it's been so rainy and dark and gloomy, and today is the day of the procession.
Yeah.
You're going to be there.
Yes, I'm going.
That is so exciting. I wish I could. We've got graduation this evening, so I have a mass and graduation, so I can't make it. Although we have a bus leaving from here. You're going to be on that bus now to find out.
Yeah.
So, good. Did you guys, were you here yesterday?
Yeah,
So, speak a little. We'll just begin.
Like I said, I was dumbstruck. I mean, Kevin Matthews was great. I was just, you know, how fanboy. there's something really. Kevin Matthews as a radio personality is always good. That's besides it. The show was really good because it was a little bit of both. But I always tune in to what he's saying about this broken marriage.
And I know for those who listened yesterday or have been listening to the radio spots that Armin so beautifully prepared, but can you just give a summation of what the story is and what's going to happen this evening?
Right. Okay. Well, today is basically there'll be a talk with Kevin Matthews about his book, Broken Mary. And the story, it's better that he says it, but briefly, he found the statue of Mary and he took it up. He heard her say, you know, don't leave me, you know, I'm paraphrasing, he says a lot better. But he took it upon himself to use this statue to just pretty much say how we're broken. And, you know, Mary is always his mother. It's just beautiful the way he says it because I sense the sincerity and the real, when you're moved by something like this. And in his storytelling, I've heard him say it so many times, but it moves me also.
Right.
So it's just, it's that feeling how Mary is in charge and Mary is our mother. And, you know, we don't leave our mother bare this way. But it's just, what I like so much about it is it brings us into the story.
Right.
You know, about her son.
Was he... Was this a moment of conversion for him?
I don't want it, because in reading the book, which Broken Mary, it's a short, it's a quick read, but it's just knowing, and see, for me, knowing the personality, Kevin Matthews, I've listened for so many years, for me, it's another side of him, which I didn't even know he was, I don't think he could, he may say it differently, but I don't think he was very religious, but... He always knew God. So it's like, it's not, you know, your personality, I think he's always known of God, but it's like in this part of his life, he realizes, okay, she's always been here. My mother's always been here, but God's always been a presence.
So when he found the statue in a garbage dump, in a garbage dumpster or whatever, he found the statue. Because I think I read the book, and I know that there's been a lot of talk about this in the last couple of weeks because of the procession this evening, and I happened to hear, and I concur with what you said. In fact, he wanted to see me yesterday, but I wasn't I wasn't available, and I was really not feeling well yesterday at all, and so, but I heard him on the radio on secular radio on WLS, mm-hmm. not WLS.
One state. The same thing.
It wasn't 890. It was.
Was it relevant?
Dan Prof.
Oh, Dan Prof. Showing. Oh, that's even better.
And I happened to be in the car, and I heard, but I didn't get the full story.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'll tell you, listening, that's political radio,
right?
And to hear somebody speak about the faith and about the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the way he spoke about her was, like, as you said, so genuine.
Yeah.
And it just, now, okay, so I'm a priest 35 years, and these things happen to me from time to time where listening to him, I thought, oh, I want to be part of this. I want to know. I felt now drawn into the very life of Our Lady, and certainly that brings us into the life of Christ and into the life of the Church. Now I'm at the heart of all this,
mm-hmm.
but you get the point I'm trying to make is hearing that was so inspiring to me. I remember once I was in Rome. I think it might have been during my sabbatical year when I lived there for the year, and this is before we started the radio, and it happened to be it was the year of the priest, mm-hmm. and it was happened to be my 25th year as a priest, so that was 10 years ago, almost. No, wait, was it 10 years ago? Yeah, 10 years ago, basically. Well, of course, 35 years ago, I'm 25 years, 10 years. Okay, all right, get with it, guy. I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there was a congress on the priesthood,
mm-hmm.
and I attended this congress. It was over a period of 2 days, and I happened to be in the midst of all these priests, very young priests, and they were the Legionnaires of Christ. Now, they've been through a real difficult time, but miraculously, by the grace of God, you know, and these are the priests that were here during Holy Week, and I'm going to be meeting with them, a group of them, in a couple of weeks. But I remember being in the midst of all these priests,
mm-hmm.
and I had such a wonderful, powerful, inspiring sense about them. And I remember being there and thinking to myself how much I want to be a priest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a priest 25 years, so you have to kind of stop and say, well, but I am a priest, mm-hmm. you know? And that was kind of the sense I had when I was listening to him on the radio speak about Broken Mary, the statue, and how he spoke about the Blessed Virgin Mary. And as I say, it was a, like, I didn't want to get out of the car. I had to leave the car, which means I had to turn the radio off but I wanted to stay with it because mm-hmm. It was so inspiring to me.
And that's the thing, too, about Kevin. He's very humble, and you could tell when he speaks. I'm more attuned to when God is working through you. And I see that with this whole, I'll never forget, I wanted to be here when he was first on Winds of Change. He was with Mary. And I remember he made a comment like, I want to see everybody. And I'm going to paraphrase. I don't use his words. I want to see everybody able to, you know, to know Mary, to know Jesus through Mary, you know, from the least to the guy with the tattoo on his arm to, you know, I'd like to see everybody out there, you know, having a rosary and telling, you know, saying a rosary. And that stuck in my head from the first time I heard it.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what this is really about. And even when you think of a procession like this, I want to say, for me personally, I just love what the man speaks, and I know him from the radio, and it's. I don't think that's the reason to come see him or come to this procession.
Right. Something deeper.
Right. There is something deeper, and if you look at the way God is using him, that's me. And when it comes to this procession, I did this when St. John Cantius did this the first time, and we were on it. You know, we talked about it on the radio. It was so moving to see humanity walking.
And so needed.
Yeah, and so needed. And it, the thing, too, that I got out of it was the people that saw us, we were affecting people that were just looking and saying, what is this? That's why for this today, if you could come out to do this, just to walk, I mean, Kevin will be talking at 7 o'clock
at St.
for
John
an hour.
Kansas,
right, at St. John,
which
Kansas.
Is on Carpenter and
right,
Milwaukee,
Chicago.
Yeah.
But he'll talk for an hour, and then the procession, I think the procession is going to go to Water Tower.
Chicago to Water Tower on Michigan Avenue.
But just the fact to be walking is that, you know, like I like to say, sea of humanity.
Exactly.
And I don't know if the statue, I think the statue is there, but I don't know if they're going to, I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure. I can't imagine if they won't.
But that's
yeah.
even better, just to see that.
Yeah.
And just, it just, I want to be part of it. I scream.
The Broken Mary, and he spoke about this. I heard this on the radio. And, and again, I say, I read the book several years ago. The book's been around for a while, I think.
Yeah.
But who can deny this? We're broken people, mm-hmm. whether it be something to the mind, something to the body, the soul, or the spirit, mm-hmm. we're broken people. This is the nature of life in this world. And maybe it takes a little bit of humility to say or to admit that, but who, as you're listening, who of you out there is not in some way broken? Who of you out there in some way does not experience some kind of disorder in your own personal life? And of course, we're affected by the world we live in, our family situation, the situations in our community, our neighborhood, in the city, in the nation, in the world, in the church, you know, certainly. So I don't think anybody can deny, and I think, by the way, I think this is what maybe draws people, even if they don't feel the inspiration to join such a procession or, you know, but that they would witness it, that they, by God's grace, they happen to be on the sidewalk or can you imagine people on Michigan Avenue?
Yeah, that's why one of the things that why I want to do this so well.
It causes people to pause and to think, to reflect, to go into that inner sanctuary, which is within all of us, and it's that empty place where we have our deepest, we suffer our deepest wounds, we have our deepest hope, our desires, our dreams, our joys, disappointment, everything that we feel in this inner sanctum. We call it the inner sanctum of the soul, the deep recesses of the heart, which is really the dwelling place of God. That's why, you know, a prayer is so important, because it's there that we, if we can at least humbly acknowledge God, and if we can accept the truth that God wants us, he wants to, as we've been hearing in the scripture really in the past couple of weeks, that in preparation for the Ascension and then for Pentecost, this ongoing farewell discourse that I must go, Jesus says, it's better that I go. It's better for you, because as I go, I will come back and I will abide within you. I will remain with you. And the fact is, the truth is, and this has got to be a source of consolation for all of us in this rather difficult time we find ourselves in, where there's so much brokenness, so much division, so much destruction. The world seems to be on the precipice of something, you know, that is awesome. When I say awesome, I mean, for many people, in a very awesome way, frightening, the uncertainty. I was reading somewhere about millennials and younger people who feel this hopelessness. We're not meant to be a hopeless people. We're meant to be hopeful, to be full of hope. even as we suffer the stuff, the things of this world. And so if we have the humility to accept this reality, which is in all of us, but perhaps we don't know where to go, to whom do we go, because we're just inundated with all the bad stuff, the bad news, the dark news, people who don't have the discipline of the faith, who haven't been to Mass, they don't pray, whatever it may be, or even those who, as we so often read today, that many and more, and maybe this is the majority of people, consider themselves non-affiliated. Right. They don't want to affiliate or feel part of any religion or any of the any denomination, or certainly not part of the church, Catholic. But when you witness something like this procession, mm-hmm. it taps into these deep recesses, the deep recesses of the soul, of the heart, of the inner sanctum. It elicits or has the potential to kindle a truth, and that truth is that we are made by God for God, and as much as we're in this battle, and the world, the flesh, the devil, the three enemies of the soul constantly militate against this truth deep, deep down, we know it. And it takes a great humility to admit that I, as St. Augustine said, I'm not going to find rest until I rest in God. I'm not going to find peace. We talked about this the other day when Jesus, just on Sunday, he said, I give you a peace the world cannot give you. Nothing in this world can give you this peace. Fame, power, riches, none of this will provide the peace that only God can give. And so we're all in search of that. But it's a procession like this that, because God's grace is working here, mm-hmm. that just naturally, this is very naturally, will tap into, has the potential to tap into the hearts of others. What the key is humility, the humility to admit the truth, the truth. You know, there's a, if you ever saw the movie The Song of Bernadette, mm-hmm. It's about the apparitions of Our Lady to St. Bernadette. By the way, today's a feast of the Visitation, so this is a very beautiful, appropriate day for the procession, because right. it's as if, not as if, because through the sacramentals of the Church, the iconography, and so even this Broken Mary is a beautiful, iconic image of a reality that if the body is broken, the mother is broken, right? Mm-hmm. Because she's part of the Church. She's the mother of the Church. And Scripture says, if one member is hurting, all the members right. are hurting. I've said this before, but if everything is fine with me, but you're suffering, then I suffer. And she being the mother of the Church, the mother of God, the mother of the Church, if the members are hurting, and indeed they are, I've got a little book here that I haven't, I've just given this morning, and I really look forward to reading it, called Letter to a Suffering Church, yeah. A Bishop Speaks on the Sexual Abuse Crisis by Bishop Barron. I'm looking forward to reading this, but a letter to, we're a suffering church.
Yeah.
We always have been, but today, for obvious reasons, people are suffering. So this iconic image, Broken Mary, is a powerful reminder of the like she who already enjoys the beatific vision, who shares in the very life of her Son, the risen Christ, contemplates the Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. She's the mother of God, but also mother of the church, a daughter of the church, because she's a daughter of the Father, mother of the Son, spouse to the Holy Spirit. She is mother of God, but that this is a beautiful, powerful, iconic image. You know, when you think about this, how over throughout the world, for years already now, how many statues have wept and have been studied and scrutinized, and there's no explanation for the weeping. So usually it's the Mother of God, the weeping Madonna. And sometimes now in places it's blood that she weeps, tears of blood. This whole story of this iconic image, the Broken Mary, what it did to the Kevin Matthews, in finding this, recognized immediately, right?
Yeah.
That this was this opened up a door to a mission, a call entrusted to him to be carried out to others. And while the book has been out there, this procession is going to be a powerful manifestation. And thank God, what a beautiful day! But you're going to be there.
Yeah,
I'd like to be there. I'll be there in spirit. But unfortunately, I'm happy to have graduation and the mass for our students. But anyway, we'll take a break, and then if you want to say something else about that, Tony, do that. But this is heaven reaching out to a people who are in need of a healing, a church that needs to be healed, people that need to be healed, a city that needs to be healed. I mean, think about it, Chicago. Think about what's going on, even with the abortion issue and what our political, at least here in Illinois, and in some places, I mean, there's great things happening, but here in Illinois and in Chicago, the deceptive ways that our elected officials are legislating for basically for the free reign of the flesh and the demise of the most innocent among us, the unborn, and doing it in a deceptive way, but applauding and joyfully applauding this victory for women, quote unquote, at the demise, at the death, at the extermination of children, the children. It couldn't be a more appropriate time for this procession, or that we're on the verge of legalizing marijuana, drugs. That, you know, I was listening today about this as well. What's happening in states that have already done this?
Yeah.
This is not a good. This is not a good thing.
So I think anybody can be late to this procession and to Broken Mary, because we're all broken in some way, even if we don't know it, but even if we know people that are around. I mean, even some of the things you described, I mean, sometimes people go through life, and I mean, a lot of people now are going through life and they're realizing something isn't right. You know, it's like,
right,
something isn't right. What can we do? I look at something like this and the way it comes at a time like this, and I think, this is what you wanna do. You wanna, you know, this is something you wanna support. This is something you wanna show, like, just to be an example.
Well, yeah, it's a very biblical reality. You know, Jesus knocking on the door. He's knocking on the door. All you have to do is open the door. This is a manifestation of heaven reaching out. The whole message of the divine mercy.
Yeah, especially, I think of the divine mercy.
Because as was revealed to St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, Jesus says, listen, even if your sins are as scarlet, as you know, you no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you know, I'm here. All you have to do is, I mean, he died for this reason. And she participated, the Blessed Mother participated fully in the redemptive, salvific and redemptive death of Jesus, the suffering death of Jesus. It's as if, in some ways, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is the cry of so many.
Yeah.
And many who are publicly rejecting God, but that public rejection deep down is that cry, my God, why hast thou abandoned me? Because of what's happened in their families and their personal lives. I heard some such sad stories yesterday that that make me think of this as well. I'm not going to go into those stories, but people are deeply afflicted, deeply affected by what's happening in the society. It abounds in the home. It abounds in the church. It's everywhere. We're all affected by the world we live in. And as that world is more and more flipping upside down, as we go through this diabolical disorientation, there are victims everywhere. And that's why so often I say, probably I've said it on the radio, but I'll say it at masses, especially as we're going to point to some as we point to truth, hard truth. It's just that, okay, as I speak this, keep in mind that we've all been affected.
Yeah.
So this isn't, you know, because people are quick to say, you know, don't point the finger at me or accuse. No, we've all been affected. Whose families, what family has not been affected? What family has not suffered some division, suffering? What's happened to marriage? What's happening to the lives of our young people? With this liberalization or this lack of regard for virginity, for chastity, for the proper use of one's sexuality, this sex-saturated society we live in, who is not affected? Toying with the question of gender and all this, the redefining marriage, and who is not affected by this?
Yeah.
How we toy with the psychosexual development of our young people. And there are some really, really sad stories out there because the society, the institutions of education are inculcating, teaching this stuff, and it's glamorized and celebrated, and God forbid that you would say anything, and you're immediately going to be reprimanded. We've talked about this often, but the fact is, this is so everybody's been affected. Can we? And this goes back to the procession. And I know we got to take a break, and I'm sorry, we're almost halfway into the show. It's hard to believe, but the key here is humility, that we humble ourselves and admit to ourselves that I am broken. I am wounded. I have disorder in my life, in my family, in the parish, in the church. Jesus came precisely for this reason, because God is a God of order. God is a God of healing. God is a God of who, as Jesus said, I give you a peace the world cannot give. So that even in your disordered state, even in your, because often wounds do not necessarily heal.
Mm-hmm.
And for what reason? Because from those wounds, we become wounded healers. We become more compassionate, more empathetic, and certainly this is the uniqueness. There's only one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus. There is no other God. All others are false gods. Our God is a historical God who has revealed himself in history, shown us a way, redeemed us. This is a God, I say, so radically, totally unique of any other God with a little g, because he shared fully in our suffering. So he is a God of compassion, a God of empathy. There's no other God like him, no other God. And it's precisely what enables us to really come close to God is because he suffers with us. And so when the scripture says that we're called to share in the sufferings of Christ or to make up for what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, there's really nothing lacking except that we're brought into this body, this mystical body. And so we become, if the Lord will deliver us from much of the woundedness, but there's certain things that perhaps he doesn't deliver us from, so that we are never strangers to what we suffer, so that we have, in sharing with God, this compassion and empathy for others who may not find their way to God, but through our compassion, through our empathy. And I think this procession is a heavenly manifestation, a reminder, an invitation to wake up to this truth that, as Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans.
Mm-hmm.
The night before he died, I am not going to leave you orphans. You're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hurt. I mean, he even prayed to his father. He says, Father, I thank you for these you've given me. They are your gift to me. And I'm not asking you to take them out of the world yet, but do protect them from the evil one. And what is it, what is the greatest evil that the evil one can do, but is to bring us away from faith in God who condescended, took on our flesh, suffered everything we suffer, redeemed us, saved us, and has destined us for eternal life, everlasting life, where all the tears are wiped away. And in the meantime, as we make our way in procession, in pilgrimage, I mentioned this once before, life is like we got to think of life as a religious procession, a procession. We carry others with us. And that's what will be, that'll be this powerful manifestation this evening as you guys enter into this procession. It's really let's just say again, an iconic image of what life is. We carry each other through, but we look beyond ourselves to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we've been graced, blessed, given a mother. We look to her, and through her heart, through her immaculate heart, into the heart of Jesus, through Jesus, by the grace and the power of the Spirit, to the Father, the family, the mystical body. All right, we'll take a break. I'm sorry. 33 minutes, okay? It's a good number, 33,
yeah,
right?
It's good.
Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen Support Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Chicago radio personality Kevin Matthews found a statue of the Virgin Mary broken and lying by a dumpster. His life would never be the same. Join Kevin tonight at 7 p.m. at St. John Catches for Kevin's talk about how Broken Mary changed his life. Then walk in procession with Kevin and Broken Mary and a few thousand others in a candlelight procession from St. John Catches to the Water Tower along Chicago Avenue. St. John Catches is located at 825 North Carpenter in Chicago. For complete details, visit OurLadyOfTheBroken.org. That's OurLadyOfTheBroken.org.
We all are broken. It's humbling to go to Mary and say, Mary, the mother of Jesus, please, please, Mary, be my mother today. This world is moving so fast. Maybe it's time to stop and close your eyes and finally be with God.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program. focused on leadership and social-emotional learning and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced-level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. Save the dates for Prairie Fest. Friday through Sunday, August 9th through the 11th at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois. More info at ByzantineCatholic.com.
Oh, that scared me. That scared me. I didn't expect that. Did you see me jump?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I did too because you jumped.
Yeah. Wow. What was that?
I don't know.
Anyway. Okay. So, boy, that we pretty well into the show. So that procession begins at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
St. John Cantius. Mm-hmm. People can meet in the church, and there'll be a. He's going to share his.
Right.
His,
I think it's 7 o'clock. Is Kevin will speak. I guess it's for an hour, and then the procession starts after that.
And that's at
St. John Cantius.
St. John Cantius.
825 North Carpenter Street.
So that's Carpenter,
Milwaukee,
and Chicago. Six corners, yeah. And it's just kitty corner from St. Stan's.
Yeah.
And I'm happy today. You know, I'll tell you why. For a lot of reasons, our kids are graduating, so mm-hmm. I'm happy for that.
But then sad, and I think about it because we talked about it too. They're going away,
right?
Don't go away from the church.
Exactly. That's what I always... But that's why I'm happy because first of all, I didn't realize we had Mass this morning. Mm-hmm. So I have Mass this evening for the we have the graduation right. after the Mass. So I thought that I didn't realize we had a Mass. And so I get a call at about 25 after 8. Somebody says, the kids are in the church waiting for Mass. You know, so they've been waiting there for a while.
What?
Yeah, exactly. So I... But and things happened pretty fast. I set out very fast, and it was so nice because we had the eighth graders, and I said, "Well, you guys are going to be at Mass twice today, so you're going to be really full of light, you know, glowing." Mm-hmm. Don't know that they understood that, but I did mention this. You know, it's mm-hmm. a sad time, but it's a very happy time, and all that. And again, trying to be very honest with them about what they're going to be up against, and that they, you know, keep the discipline of the faith. And I mentioned to them, because they weren't here for Sunday, but with everything we were talking about, you know, Jesus says, I give you a peace a world cannot give. Mm-hmm. So we broke down the word peace, you know, prayer, right. Eucharist,
adoration,
confession, and everlasting life. You know, you're on pilgrimage, you're in the journey. I should have mentioned that we're in the procession. You know, this is a mm-hmm. think of life as a religious procession. Or somebody, Barb was saying this morning, I was telling her about this, and she said, you know, life is really like going up a mountain and discarding the luggage as we go on our way. So we have to keep letting go. Yeah. And I had mentioned to the children, because that last one was everlasting life, that mm-hmm. we're destined, and because we know where we're going, we're committed to life. We're committed to making sacrifice, that our love would be sacrificial. But I mentioned to them that, you know, in the course of a life, we have to die many, many times. Not the physical death that happens at the end of life, which is really the Passover to eternal life, And even on the Feast of the Ascension, I mean, the prayers are so beautiful about that, because we celebrated yesterday the Feast of the Ascension. We'll celebrate again on Sunday here. But the so the point is you have to die to. There's a sadness in having to leave behind something that was very familiar, and that is that most of those kids have been 9 years in the school. So they started from the time they were in preschool, and now they're in the eighth grade, and they're going on to high school. There's an excitement about that, but at the same time, it's a death. You have to die to what you know and venture into something you do not know. So think of it like, you know, that way. So we're kind of, like I told them, I said, you know, I keep thinking I'm 30 years old. You know, I should have died to that a long time ago.
Right.
And so I'm still dying to that reality that I'm not 30 years old. But there's all kinds of things, you know, in the course of a lifetime. So I feel this joy. I don't really like to use the word happy. I don't like the word happy, but I do like the word joy. But I feel joyfully happy, okay? Let's just say that. Because after the Mass, and I'm sitting here thinking as well, like as you just mentioned, you know, how many of these kids are really going to come back? And so after the Mass, and the altar boys, they were very good, because I had apologized to the students. I said, really, I'm very, very sorry. As it was my fault, a long story. And then at the end of the Mass, I said, really, I completely forgot that we had the Mass. I'm sorry, and I thank you for your patience. And when I went into the sacristy after the Mass, and this is a beautiful thing, all the altar boys said, Father, you don't have to apologize. We understand. They were great.
Yeah.
I felt so affirmed. But they really are the beauty of these kids, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, wow, you know. And it's how they said it, too. It's, you know, oh, Father, you know. I felt like a father. I really felt like a father. And afterwards, so then I was in the rectory, and Lorenzo, the porter, mm-hmm. he came in and he says, and I had a lot of things to do because I had to prepare for the radio and all that. By this time, I didn't have a lot of time. And, of course, I didn't do it, but didn't get to prepare, which is okay, because here we are and we're, 42 minutes into the show, and I feel that this has been, there's been good stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. We're talking about something very important. So I let the Spirit lead. But anyway, so Lorenzo came there. He says, into the rectory. He says, I've got somebody here to see you. Mm-hmm. Well, anytime I hear that, I wonder, okay, who's here to see me? And
along
I got a lot of things to do. And it was one of our former students.
Oh.
And I didn't remember his name, but I remembered the face. He graduated in 2000.
Wow.
You know? And he was very happy to see me. He says he hadn't been in the church in many, many, many years in our church. And he and his fiance happened to be driving by, or I don't know if they made it a point to come by. Mm-hmm. He wanted to show her the church. Thank God our church is open. And it was just a great joy seeing him. And I said, you know, name, okay, Danny. His name is Danny.
Mm-hmm.
I says, yeah, I remember you. I could, you know, go back immediately. So we're talking almost 20 years. You know, he's 33 years old,
mm-hmm.
and he's very proud to say, you know, I'm graduating in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be a firefighter. We were just talking about Andy, uh-huh. who had just graduated. He's a police mm-hmm. officer, and this is a guy who's going to be a firefighter, a mm-hmm. fireman. I guess you don't say fireman today. You know, it's excluding the women.
I still say fireman.
Fireman, but it was. So we spent maybe 45 minutes together as much as I could, mm-hmm. and it was just a beautiful conversation, you know, reminiscing, and then you hear about the things that he remembered, from, you know, the time he was here, and even at the masses. So mm-hmm. you think these kids nothing's really sinking in, but there's a lot that does, you know.
It's the thing for you, and it's the way God works. I mean, here you are telling the eighth grade class to stay with God, stay here, and here you got verification of just God telling you, look, this, you, here's one.
Right, we plant the seeds, and you know, see, again, we're made by God for God, and You know, it just made my day. And then after that, as he left, and I mean, it really was. It was just a joyful, pleasant, beautiful conversation. It was nice meeting his fiance. Everything was just beautiful. And then as he left, another woman came up from the soup kitchen, and there was somebody else in the corridor, and we were talking. Her husband's going through cancer, a treatment, and in a difficult situation. But as we were talking, and somebody else had walked in, and I said, "Oh, this is so and so," and I said, "You know, this woman has suffered so much. We go back all the way to St. Hyacinth's," and you know, and just then to begin to reminisce about the death of her daughter, the death of the niece. You know, so there's other part of the family. They were part of the scouts, and one of our scouts had died in a car accident. She had just gotten her license, was driving from a tennis practice or going to tennis practice, and had moved out into the suburbs and was turning a corner and was caught in the sun, you know, and lost control of the car. And then, of course, this woman's son, you know, the point is all the stuff just going back over. Mm-hmm. So I've known these people 35 years, as long as I'm a priest. And just as we were just reminiscing on 35 years of a lot of tragedy, and yet still a joy about life and about living. And she said, "Yeah, I was in your chapel," because my chapel's right off my office. And as I was with this other, Danny and his fiance, she was waiting, and she was in the chapel. And she said, "I was just saying, Lord, you know, why all the trials, all the tribulations, you know?" But yet this is a woman of deep faith. And then, of course, with the other couple, we were talking about other people in the neighborhood, and this happened and that happened and all this, because I'm here 28 years in this parish. And it occurred to me, and this is why I guess I feel this happy joy today, at least, is that the beauty, and I read this somewhere too, and I think there's truth to this. I believe it is, because I've witnessed it. But to be in a place so long, I truly feel like a father. It's like, you know, these are people that I've baptisms and marriages and the crisis, the tragedies, you know, and we get so much of, you know, people come with all their problems and all that, and so that's all part of the reality. And this is what I try to impress upon these kids, that, you know, you're gonna have a lot of life, like Jesus says, I'm not gonna deceive you. And I was thinking about this afterwards when I left that conversation, and I was thinking about how good it is to have been here, how I've been so blessed to be here at St. Stanislaus Kostka for all these years, because, you know, you see people, generation, from one generation to the next generation, people whose marriages I've had, now I'm having their children's marriages. You know, when you think about even ourselves, you know, we go back all these years as well, you know? Because you're married how many years now?
Going on 19.
19.
Oh, my gosh. I don't normally know that, but
We won't tell your wife.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, it's just, but this is life, you see. This is life, and maybe this would be part of the renewal of the priesthood, is to, that priests really understand the nature of sacrificial love, which is, and that is to walk with the people and stay with that people through the good and the bad, the happy, the sad, the peaks and the valleys, through life and through death. Because it's not just that, it's not only is it good for the priest, but it's good for the people as well, that this is reality. But I remember a priest said to me, you know, "Oh, but you're by yourself there, you know, you don't have the priestly fraternity and all that kind of stuff." I said, "Well, you know, I'm not alone." You know, I've never been alone. In fact, I I thank God at the end of the day when I can go to my room and be alone, because I'm in the midst of people all the time and in the midst of life, which is very dynamic and often very, very hard. And so I wonder about that as I'm going to prepare to read this book, Letter to a Suffering Church. But maybe this is part of the purging and part of the renewal of the priesthood, is that, you know, maybe it's better that we don't have, you know, so many priests in a parish, but that you have, you know, a pastor mm-hmm. who is there for a long time to really offer that, I don't even like to use the word community, but the family of God, the mystical body, to offer, these are the people that are entrusted to you. And every time you celebrate the Mass, you're offering them with your, you know, you got to lay your life on the altar. And together with your life, offer these people. And then, of course, it goes beyond that, but through Jesus, to the Father. Do you get the point that I'm trying to make? Is it, you know, that it really is about fathering the people of God to really take to heart and to mind that really awesome responsibility to live it, to lay down your life. Now, having said that, have I done that with perfection? Of course I haven't done that with perfection, but and oftentimes you feel like you're failing and you feel like you've, you know, better that somebody else should be here, that I should, you know.
See, but I think that too, as the married man, I mean, marriage is like that.
Everything.
I mean, in a sense, because you are wedded to God, that it's the same thing. I would think there'd be that similarities, but also it's like even raising kids. I mean, you want the best, and I know you have those frustrations because we've kind of talked about that too. Like you just said, am I doing the right thing? Are they listening? Or the anxiety of, okay, here comes, and you know, eight grades finally done, you're graduating, and will you be back? Will you know that you are always,
right,
you know,
right,
here?
Yeah.
And it's that frustrates like kids. So, I mean, I think when you look at it that way, and I kind of, now that you said it, makes the most sense that it's, you do that.
Yeah, I got to just, next to tell me to take a break. I wanted to tap into what you just said there. And I guess this is the point I'm making. If a priest does not identify with people in marriage, or parents, people who have, you know, families, if we're not able to identify with that, then we really shouldn't be priests.
Yeah.
Because it's the same, it requires of us sacrificial love.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Chicago radio personality Kevin Matthews found a statue of the Virgin Mary broken and lying by a dumpster. His life would never be the same. Join Kevin tonight at 7 p.m. at St. John Catches for Kevin's talk about how Broken Mary changed his life. Then walk in procession with Kevin and Broken Mary and a few thousand others in a candlelight procession from St. John Catches to the Water Tower along Chicago Avenue. St. John Catches is located at 825 North Carpenter in Chicago. For complete details, visit OurLadyOfTheBroken.org. That's OurLadyOfTheBroken.org.
We all are broken. It's humbling to go to Mary and say, Mary, the Mother of Jesus, please, please, Mary, be my mother today. This world is moving so fast. Maybe it's time to stop and close your eyes and finally be with God.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stas has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stas is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stas.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you. This hour has gone entirely too fast. We need another hour. Today I would really like to have another hour.
Wow, that's you saying that.
Yeah, I really am, because there's a lot of other stuff, a lot of other things I'd like
to enough time.
Share with you. But I think it was important that we talked about this procession, because it really is going to be very important. And I believe this is a manifestation of God, Our Lady, you know, to the city. So we just got a little less than 5 minutes, 4 minutes now. The Feast of the Ascension, whether you celebrated it on Thursday, whether you're going to do it on Sunday. I was reading from the writings of St. Leo the Great. This goes back to the 5th century, just a beautiful commentary. I can't go into the whole thing, but one of the things that he said, you know, in his homily, this is a homily, about the ascension, that and so our Redeemer's visible presence has passed into the sacraments, that God is with us in the sacraments. Our faith is nobler and stronger because sight has been replaced by a doctrine whose authority is accepted by believing hearts enlightened from on high. The faith was increased by the Lord's ascension and strengthened by the gift of the Spirit. It would remain unshaken by fetters and imprisonment, exile and hunger, fire and ravening beasts, and the most refined tortures ever devised by brutal persecutors. Throughout the world, women no less than men, tender girls as well as boys, have given their life's blood in the struggle for this faith. And he spoke about, let me just conclude with this. St. Paul, in his plea to the early Christians, he says, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Let us be children no longer tossed here and there, carried by every wind of doctrine that originates in human trickery and skill in proposing error. Rather, let us profess the truth and love, grow to the full maturity of Christ the head. I declare and I attest solemnly in the Lord that you must no longer live as the pagans do. Their minds empty, their understanding darkened. They are estranged from a life in God because of their ignorance and their resistance. Without remorse, they have abandoned themselves to lust and the indulgences of every sort of lewd conduct. That is not what you learn when you learned in Christ, when you learn Christ. So remember, I'm just thinking of these people in the procession that, you know, perhaps that mind will be less darkened as they witness this. And then finally, as we come to the end of the show, from the Ascension to Pentecost, 9 days, a novena, a prayer, as the apostles in the company of the Blessed Virgin Mary prayed and waited. So let us cleave to the Mother of God as we open our hearts for a renewed outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let it be known to others that we bear the very life of Christ in our body and soul, that hope be renewed. And that's really I trust this is what this procession will do for the lives of many people, and that is renew hope. So think of this in the procession. It's like with the apostles in the company of the Blessed Virgin Mary, praying and waiting for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Have a blessed weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Marvel and flatter. inside is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is